Our very next guest has a pretty good idea as to what you should be watching, especially now that the holiday programming is really kicking into high gear. Michael Warschauer, our Hollywood guru, joins us. Michael, how are you today?
Doing well. Happy to join you guys as always.
Well, great to have you with us as always as well, my friend. And we'll dive right into the box office banter. Ford versus Ferrari taking the top spot. Not a huge shocker, because there was certainly some hype surrounding this movie, pulling in a little over $31 million in its opening weekend. Well, what kinds of reviews are you seeing and hearing about this? And do you think that this could be considered a big win for a big-budget original?
Yeah, I think this is a really big win. The movie had really good reviews all across the board. Even some of the lower reviews were still in like the B-minus range, so that's really good as a critical consensus. But the big win here for this movie is that it has an A-plus cinema score, which means that pretty much everyone that went to go see this movie is just raving about it. And I can personally attest that everyone that I know that saw it over the weekend all reached out to me and said, this is one I have to go see, and a really good one. So it definitely won over audiences. And I think it's really good news for these higher budget films that are made specifically for adults. We don't see a lot of those anymore. You get your big, big budget movies that are, the Avengers and all these major action films that are really designed to appeal to the widest audience to recoup that large amount of money. So you don't see a ton of these movies that are made for really anything over about $30 million that are targeted specifically at adult audiences. So I think it's a really big win. It definitely outperformed its expectations. I think people thought it would take the top spot at the box office, but it certainly blew past its expectations and now has a lot of momentum heading into the Thanksgiving holiday, as well as award season. So this is a movie that can continue to perform very well. And hopefully, the studios will look at this and they'll say they should be giving more of these kinds of films a chance and keep them released throughout the year as opposed to just waiting for them as award season movies. But definitely a big win, and definitely a big win for Sony, the studio, which has kind of struggled a little bit.
Okay, to the other end of that.
That's Fox, yeah.
Okay. Well, and to the other end of that now, because as good as Ford versus Ferrari did, Charlie's Angels, that reboot, did very, very poorly in its opening weekend. $8 million domestically. Not very good. Any reason why you think this did so poorly? Matt Douglas will tell you, because
I gotta guess.
Kristen Stewart's in it. He hates Kristen Stewart. He thinks she's awful. Maybe not in those exact words.
Yeah, I don't think I'd never say hate, but I just don't think she's one of the best. She doesn't bring a lot of life to the show, and it seems like a movie like this, you need that.
Sure. Well, I think that's actually one of the bigger problems is that, while Kristen Stewart has certainly been a pretty big star, she's not necessarily the same A-list star that she was around the time of Twilight. So I think that really had a big effect on the box office, is that she was the biggest star that they had in this movie. It's kind of hard to sell some people when you don't have that big of a cast that's well known. So I think that was a big problem. But I think what I've kind of read is that a lot of problems with this movie started way back when they were scripting it. Deadline reported actually that they approached Jennifer Lawrence, Margot Robbie, and Emma Stone all to have roles in the film, and they all turned it down because they were disappointed in the script. So I think this was a movie that really kind of struggled in the development phase and just kind of failed to get the traction that it needed. It really didn't help that it had pretty tepid reviews across the board. Mostly, like, the most positive reviews were middling at best. And again, we're seeing kind of what the limits of all these reboots and everything are. I mean, in just the last 3 weeks now, we've had the Terminator movie, we've had Dr. Sleep, and now this all fail, as well as Men in Black and Shaft this year, where I think there's just a certain point where you can't just rely on one piece of IP, intellectual property, to kind of base a franchise off of, and we're really starting to see the limits of that. So it'll be interesting to see what studios, how they sort of respond, as we've talked about the last few weeks, to this sort of continual flop from all of these reboots. But I have a feeling that it's going to lead them to start rethinking how they're done, or at the very least rethinking how much money they're going to keep putting into them.
Let's stick with the box office for another moment here, because the Last Christmas movie opened up around $6 million, and I think you look at that number, obviously not all that impressive. Could this be one that maybe picks up a little bit of steam when we get a little bit deeper into the holiday season? When I first mentioned that to Matt today, he said, that movie came out already? And that was kind of my reaction when I saw this thing on the list. I thought, wow, that seems awfully early for a Christmas movie. Is this one you think could pick up some steam in the next few weeks?
Yeah, definitely. I think that it has the chance with word of mouth and again with Thanksgiving coming up and people starting to really ease into holiday movies after that. I think it really has a good shot. It has a lot of decent buzz around it for Emilia Clarke in particular with her first big post-Game of Thrones project. But if maybe some people, I saw it on the internet this weekend, there's apparently a big twist ending that people did not see coming and were talking about online. So I wonder if that kind of buzz will help bring more audiences in. I don't think that it's going to be a mega smash hit like one of those sleeper movies that kind of just keeps chugging along. But I do think that it's going to be pretty steady over the next few weeks and probably see a growing audience as we finally come into that holiday movie season. I do think it came out maybe a week or two too early.
Do you think this is one of those movies that could kind of create that lineage, though? It's a Christmas movie, as you mentioned, a little bit of a twist ending, which I've heard a little bit about, too. This one might live on through the Christmases, and we'll continue to see it on TV?
It definitely could. I mean, there are a number of films that we've seen over the years that have done so horribly at the box office or whatnot, and then just sort of continue to live on. And this could be one, especially given that there haven't been a lot of really strong holiday romantic comedies like this one over the last several years. So I think that is certainly a potential as long as the people going to see it continue to love it after they've sort of uncovered the twist, I guess.
Michael Warshaw, our Hollywood guru, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. All right, let's get into the Disney Plus streaming service. Now that it's been out for, well, just about a week, some of the originals certainly getting some reviews, some good, some bad. Which series are getting the most positive pub to this point?
Well, I think the runaway winner in that category is definitely The Mandalorian, the Star Wars series that was kind of the crown jewel of the Disney Plus launch. It's very good. I've really enjoyed the first two episodes that are out now. It really follows nicely in the tradition of Star Wars. It has the feel of the Star Wars movies. While being kind of its own thing, it feels a lot like a Western at certain parts. And I don't really want to spoil what the big twist of the first episode is, even though I know that really was all over the internet over the weekend and certainly all week. But there is a really great twist at the end of the first episode that makes it just like kicks it up a whole new level and makes you want to keep watching. So that's certainly, I think, definitely the highest profile and best quality release they've had so far. But they also have this really cool series, The World According to Jeff Goldblum. It kind of follows in the tradition of shows like that Anthony Bourdain used to have, where it's just sort of Jeff Goldblum traveling and seeing the world and being Jeff Goldblum. And that's a big part of the appeal to watching that show. So it's a nice, easy watch, something that's a lot of fun. And other than that, they have the High School Musical show. They have a reality show where Kristen Bell reunites old High School Musical troops to redo their shows as adults. But this is just sort of the start for Disney Plus. They have a ton of original series coming out, including two more Star Wars series, five different Marvel shows, a Monsters, Inc. spinoff, and a reboot of Lizzie McGuire. So this is just the beginning. We have a lot of new content coming to Disney Plus over the next year or two and beyond.
Can you... The High School Musical series. This thing blew my mind when I saw what it was about. So it's called High School Musical, the series, right? It's like they're doing High School Musical within this High School Musical, right?
Right. it's certainly an interesting take. Yeah. Definitely a way to kind of stretch that out into 8 or 10 episodes and multiple seasons for sure.
I could not wrap my head around it when I first heard it. I was like, what? That's so many things.
So what are your initial thoughts on this? Again, now that it's been out for a week, I think they hashed out some of the bugs and things of that nature the first day or first night, first full 24-hour jitters, whatever you want to call them. Seems like they've worked most of those bugs out. What are your thoughts on the service, having experimented with it and taken a look at it? Do you like the library? Do you like the layout of it? What are some things that you like and dislike about the Disney Plus streaming service so far?
I mean, the library is pretty impressive, especially if you're a parent with kids. There is obviously the whole Disney vault. There's all the old movies and TV shows, and there's a lot of great nostalgia factor in there. I was the other night watching Boy Meets World episodes, and they have some of the old Disney Channel cartoons. So there's a lot to be excited about. I think as far as its interface, there's definitely still some big improvements, the biggest of which in my mind is a continue watching button or option. That was something that was driving me crazy, going back and forth to try and find things I've watched before and get back to where I was. So there's some sort of interface issues there, but overall I think the platform is pretty solid. I think that you're kind of at this point, you're banking on first like enjoying the back library, but really getting ready for that massive amount of content that they have coming out. So I think there's still a lot that they're going to improve. They actually did announce one of the big major things that people were talking about all this last week, which were that the Simpsons are finally on a streaming platform, but diehard fans immediately recognize all the episodes are zoomed in and cropped so that they can fit a widescreen ratio as opposed to the square ratio that they came out in. So a lot of people are upset with that, but Disney announced just the other day that in early 2020, so about January, they're going to have that fixed so that you can watch them in those original aspect ratios. So I think it was kind of a rough first day for the platform, but it balanced out, and it certainly it's solid. It needs some improvement to get to the level of like Netflix or Hulu, but the content there already certainly helps a lot.
Good stuff. Well, looking forward to that. I have not been able to dive into it just yet, but I'm looking forward to, at the very least, seeing what the library has to offer at this point. All right, Micah, we'll transition into some TV here. Ricky Gervais hosting the Golden Globes again. This is now the fifth time that he's going to do this. You think this is going to be the last time for him?
Well, he says it's his last, but he said that before, twice, actually, and has come back to do it two more times since then. Who knows? I think it definitely could be. He sort of built this reputation of burning bridges and really just going hard on the roast of Hollywood in his past hosting experience there. So I definitely see him kind of continuing that and really taking no prisoners, not holding back in the least. So in the past, we've seen him kind of ruffle some feathers and still come back and be Ricky Gervais. I have a feeling that him saying he's never going to do it again is almost a negotiating tactic or a PR tactic, that he can just kind of go out and do whatever he wants and say whatever he wants, and then the next time they need him, he can jack up the price even more. But I don't know. I could definitely see him coming back. I think it's sort of been one of the biggest ways that he's stayed very relevant over the last several years is by hosting this in the wake of all of his shows, kind of not having the same critical acclaim as like The Office and Extras before that or after that. So I think that this could be his last for sure. I think it just depends on really how people respond, not just in the audience in Hollywood, but viewers at home.
We've also learned in recent years, this isn't something that just anybody can do. And when you look at these award shows, and it seems like there are 10,000 of these things anymore, there aren't many separators. And I think if you find a host that certainly makes this stand out because they are entertaining, you know, they certainly move things along a little bit, it takes a special personality to be able to do that. He's proven that he can do that. And that's becoming a pretty rare gift because, again, as we've learned, not everybody can do this.
Absolutely, and not everybody wants to do it anymore, which is also a big thing. I mean, part of the reason that the Oscars went without a host this year is because after Kevin Hart pulled out and there was all of that backlash, nobody else really wanted to get into that mess of doing it, having the whole show kind of put on their shoulders. So it really is becoming kind of a dying art. But as we saw at this year's Emmy Awards, sometimes you need a host. The hostless format worked really well at the Oscars. It did not at the Emmys. So if you have someone like Ricky Gervais, who's really good at commanding the room, at breaking up sort of the tension, especially at the Golden Globes, which is notoriously a more alcohol-fueled award show than the rest. I think he's a really good fit for it, and I don't think that there are a lot of people that could probably take on that job better than him. I mean, the only two that come to mind are Amy Poehler and Tina Fey, who have also said that they won't host the Golden Globes again. So he's certainly a rare breed at this point.
He certainly is. He certainly is a rare breed. All right, Michael, we will finish up with this week's Picks to Click. What should we be watching this week?
Well, season 3 of The Crown premiered on Netflix just yesterday with newly minted Oscar winner Olivia Colman taking over the lead of Queen Elizabeth II. So that will certainly be worth your time if you like the royalty and historic dramas. And this weekend at the box office, a couple big movies hitting theaters. First, Frozen 2 comes, so get ready to sing along to a new song endlessly for another year or two, as well as A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, the Mr. Rogers biopic starring Tom Hanks, which has a lot of Oscar buzz for its star. So a lot to watch this week.
Most definitely tons to watch. All right, Michael, as always, we appreciate you joining us, and we look forward to doing this again next week.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.